You ever feel overwhelmed by life? You ever feel like you're just not up to the challenge? I think all of us are there at various times, in various ways. But we need to realize that we're not the first ones, not the first ones by a long shot, that have been in that situation. We can look in Daniel and find a man who faced many challenges. And we can see that he was a man ready for life's challenges. He was a man that we ought to look up to and say, wow, I wished I could be like that. He was taken into captivity in 606 in the first group to be taken out of his country. He was a young man, probably somewhere 18 to 20, maybe even 17, late teens. That's a young man to be taken out of his country, knowing he probably will never see his parents again. Never see his siblings again. Never see his home again. Thrown into an entirely different culture. And he lived in that culture throughout the whole duration of the captivity, 70 years. That's a long time to be a captive in a foreign country. He and his friends were selected by the king to receive special training. To receive a doctorate, if you will, in how to be a Babylonian. He was going to be taught the language. He was going to be taught all of their learning. He was going to be taught the things that he needed to do in order to be someone who served in the king's palace. That's a high honor. But I'm not sure I would want it when I was 17, 18, 19 years old. Never to see my family again. Never to have the privilege of going into the temple again. Never to have the privilege of having to sit at the feet of a rabbi. He saw no hope for that. He was going to be alone. And he and his three friends were the core, if you will, of the theists, of the believers in God in that country. And that's a scary thought for a young man like that. The first seven verses of the first chapter tell us he was selected for some very special training. He was going to go to school for 3 years. And like I say, he would be taught the language, he would be taught the literature or the training of the Chaldeans, as the New King James puts it, the Babylonians. He would be the one that would be trained to serve in the king's house. That was a common thing in that day and time, and it's not that unusual today. The Russians did that when it was the USSR. When they would take over, they would take the cream of the young people and send them back to Russia. And there they would be trained in Russian, they would be trained in communism, they'd be trained in all of the skills that they needed. And sometimes they sent them back home to rule their country, and other times they kept them there. Daniel was going to be kept there. He was told that he was going to serve in the king's house. Now that's a privilege, and that's an honor. But again, I think at that age and that time in my life, I don't know that I'd want that honor. I know in my lifetime, when I was in Vietnam, I learned a little bit of the language. I learned to be able to get along. I was there for a year, got out with a whole skin, and no bullet holes in it or none of that kind of good stuff, so I was pretty thrilled. But you have to go through going out kind of an interview. And this officer sat across from me and he said, Credway, Navy wants to keep you. And I said, they do? He said, yes, they have a wonderful opportunity for you. We're going to send you to school for 2 years to California. And you're going to learn Vietnamese and be further trained in what you've already picked up. I sat there for a few minutes and I thought to myself, and then, once I learn Vietnamese, what am I going to do? And I asked that question. And he said, well, that will be determined. I said, no, sir, it's determined right now. I want out. I don't want to be honored by going to school for 2 years. Because you see, dumb as I am, I could think, now what would they do with me once I learned Vietnamese? They'd send me to Germany probably, right? Well, known it's the military, they might, but that's not the logical thing to do. Because the war was just starting at that time. That would have been 1964. Well, it was just getting started. I thought, you know, if I learn the language, guess where I'm going to end up? Right back here where I am right now. And all I wanted was out of there. So I turned down that opportunity. Daniel didn't have that opportunity to turn it down. He was a captive. And then he was told that he had to eat a certain diet. He had to eat of the king's table, the king's delicacies, as the New King James puts it. And the wine that he drank, and all of the training. Verse number 8 says of the first chapter, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. You see, he was a good Jewish boy. He knew there were dietary restrictions that if he was going to stay in favor with God, he just couldn't break them. Even though he's in another country, in another culture, being given a great honor, I don't think so. I don't think so. He said no. But he did it in a way that he didn't really get into the trouble he could have. Because what he told them was, let us try it. The fellow that was in charge said, you would endanger my head before the king at the end of verse 10. Said, if I let you get away with that, turn down his food and turn down his drink, I get in trouble. And you can hear the no that's coming next when he decides that. But he decided to let them. Verse 14, he consented with them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. In the 10 days, their features were better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate at the portions of the king's delicacy. One of my favorite verses. You're good if you're fat. Isn't that what he said? If you're fatter, you're better than... Well, maybe not. It sounded good. So he took away, verse 16, their portion of the delicacies and the wine that they were to drink, and gave them vegetables. We can see, starting with verse 17, that God rewarded them. That God blessed them. He gave them the knowledge and the skill and all the literature and the wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all the visions and dreams. The Babylonians were, at that day and time, the most educated country in the world. Their culture, their civilization was way up there. They were the best in agriculture, in astronomy, in mathematics, in writing, in engineering. And he was trained in all of that. And on top of that, he was given understanding in visions and dreams. God blessed him. And God knew what he was doing. You see, God was preparing him. And he's setting down a lesson for us that, boy, we like to deny. One can survive and thrive in an evil culture, in an ungodly environment. Got no excuse. I had to. No, you didn't. You may have thought you'd be better off, but you wouldn't be. Daniel was a man that was ready for the challenge. And he was ready for one reason. And that was his commitment to God. his commitment to God. Now, Daniel's commitment was one he made early before he left Palestine to go to Babylon. He was a man that understood Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter in verse number 1, where it says, remember God in the days of your youth. Now, most of us in here can't have that privilege. Those days are gone. But Daniel did, and he certainly wasn't the only one. In Genesis 39, we can see that Joseph was a man who remembered his Savior, his God, in the days of his youth, and turned down the offer that he was made of Potiphar's wife. We can see that Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 5, and then again in the third chapter in verse 15, was commended because he had learned the scriptures which are able to make him wise, and he learned them from his mother and from his grandmother as a boy. So he was a young man who remembered his Creator. And he was also a young man who stood by his convictions. Oh man, is that a tough one. Stand by your convictions. He didn't do as so many do, leave God when they leave home. Just astronomical number of people leave the church when they leave home. Walk out of mom and dad's house and leave God behind. He didn't. As a matter of fact, he didn't walk out of God's house. He was out of his parents' house. He was taken out of his parents' house. You talk about somebody that could sit in the corner and suck his thumb and say, why me, poor me? It would be Daniel. Why was I the one taken? Why wasn't I left at home? And he also, when he got there, didn't try to blend in with the Babylonian lifestyle. He was a Jew. He was a believer in God. And he remained one his entire life. You see, he stuck by his godly convictions. We need to see, that's the thing that we need to do if we're going to be strong enough to face life challenges. We have to make a commitment, and then we have to stand by it. We have to stand by it. Well, starting with verse number 8, we can see that his commitment was complete. We're told in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, in verse number 23, that we need to let our life show. Let people see exactly what it is that is going on in our life. Why? Because that's what we have to do if we're going to be the people God wants us to be. Daniel understood that. 4th chapter, verse 23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and perverse lips, far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. God knows and understands we've got those temptations before us. Daniel did too. But his commitment was complete. And his commitment was such that it was shown in his outward conduct. He kept his life. And folks, he had deeper motives than just to merely impress those other young men that were along with him. His commitment was to God. His commitment wasn't even to the commitment that so many people have, and that's to show defiance to his captors. To cooperate as little as possible. I think most young people go through that process. They're trying to separate from parents. They're trying to establish themselves. So they're going to cooperate just as little as they can get away with. We don't see that here. He understood and understood well. He wasn't moved by the pomp and the power of the royal palace. We don't find him compromising in any way. In any way. Even for a temporary advantage. Or for temporary ease. Well, surely he could have gone along with just eating for, you know, just a period of time here until he's in the school. And no. No. There is no compromise. He understood and accepted the risk of nonconformity. Because if we're going to be the Christian that we need to be, we cannot conform to the world. And that has risks. That has problems built within it. I mean, he risked his life. Because life was cheap to pagan kings. The man that told him, "You're risking my life if I don't give you this food," he wasn't just spouting words. He meant exactly what he said. You either did what the king said or you lost your life. And he wouldn't. And he didn't. His commitment was not only begun early, but it was one that was complete. And in the third point, his commitment was lasting. It lasted starting in the time we read about in the first chapter, all the way through the rest of his life. He was 90, almost 90, when we get to the end of the book. You can get worn down, but not him. As an old man, he was still faithful. He was still strong. Those years of struggle didn't wear him down. You see, those years of service really served to strengthen him and to prepare him. Go to the sixth chapter of Daniel. You're going to see one of the tests that he had to go through. We're going to see him as he is placed in the position of either obey or go to the lion's den. What do you do? How do you handle that? What's the answer to that problem? Be faithful. I made a commitment, and I understood the risk, and I understand that I'm going to have to stand up for that. You see, there were some folks that were jealous about him. First nine verses, we see the jealousy of the other wise men, as they're called. And we see them talking Darius into establishing a decree, because they knew that Daniel was going to obey the law. He knew he wasn't going to do anything concerning disobeying unless they can show that the law violates God's law. And then Daniel understood which one was greater. And that was the law of God. Starting with verse number 10, we can see the statement being made that Daniel knew the writing was signed. That he was not allowed to worship anyone but the king. And he went home. And in his upper room with the window open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times a day and prayed. And gave thanks before his God as was his custom since early days. He did what he was to do even when he knew that it was going to get him into trouble, because that was the right thing to do. And we can read on through how that they assembled, they found Daniel praying, making supplication before God, and they went before the king. I'm reading 11 and 12. And spoke concerning the king's decree. He said, "Have you not signed the decree that any man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. And you can just hear the tears in the king's voice when he said, this is true. According to the laws of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. And they answered and said, that Daniel, who's one of the captives in Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or the decree that you've signed, makes his petition 3 times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself. With himself. You see, when that was told him, you could almost like the light bulb went on. They got me. They set me up. They tricked me into signing a decree that they knew was going to do this to Daniel. And I was dumb enough to sign it. He was angry with himself. Now, I'm sure that there was eventually some anger with them. But he knew the ultimate responsibility was on him. Starting with verse number 16, we see what happens. The king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But listen to the king. Your God, whom you serve continually, he'll deliver you. He'll deliver you. And they sealed it with his signet and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. He didn't sleep that night. He didn't eat that night. He arose very early the next morning and went in haste and cried out with a lament. Said, Daniel, servant of the living God, this your God whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? And Daniel said, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so they would not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I've done no wrong before you. Done no wrong before you. We see Darius, the king, in verse 24, gave the command and brought those men who had accused Daniel and cast them in the lion's den, them and their children and their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom. Then listen to what King Darius wrote. To all the peoples and nations of language that dwell in all of the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I made a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God. Now, what's the difference between a living God? What's the opposite? A dead God. An idol, a piece of stone or wood or metal. He is a living God and steadfast forever. Steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and earth, and he's delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Daniel's commitment was one that was so strong and so complete and so lasting. You know, when you get old, you often look back at your life. Boy, what a life Daniel could look back on. And he could look back and see that by the time he needed to refuse the king's food, he had the character that was needed. By the time he needed to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he had the wisdom that was needed. By the time needed to interpret the handwriting on the wall, he had the reputation needed to be asked. And by the time he needed to face the lion's den, he had the fortitude to be able to walk in there And by the time he needed to help the Jews during Cyrus's reign, he had the influence to be able to do that. What a God. But what a man. What a man that was committed to God. Committed to Him early. Committed to Him completely. And committed to Him lastingly. Now I asked early, do you ever feel like you're not ready for life's challenges? Maybe you need to look at yourself and say, is my commitment to God right? Because folks, we serve the same God that Daniel did. The very same God. Who has the very same power. Do we have the same commitment? Are you ready to face life's challenges? To face the discouragement, the frustration, the anger, the sadness, the despair, the discouragement, even the danger that all of us face all the time. Are you ready to face life's challenges? Are you prepared? If you're not and you need our help, please won't you let that be known? And won't you do it right now while we stand and while we sing?